a question in a situation that's unfortunately becoming more and more common. A person owned a house. He had lost his job. He fell behind on his mortgage payments. And the house went into foreclosure. Now, he was notified there was going to be a sheriff's sale. The house is going to be sold. So what happened was a number of askanim, a number of people in the community got involved. And they decided that they were going to go ahead, they were going to send a representative down to the sheriff's sale, and they were going to bid on the house, they're going to buy the house, and let the homeowner stay there. They were involved for tzedakah, they were involved to try to help out the unfortunate fellow. And that's what they did. They sent someone down to the auction. It was a local auction, it was in a small town. Most of the community recognized what was happening, and they stayed away. They didn't want to bid against this representative. They didn't want to deprive the homeowner of his house. And it was being sold at a very, very inexpensive price. One fellow came along, and he was either unaware of what was happening or simply didn't care. He came in, he put in a higher offer, and he bought the property. After the auction, people were very upset with this outside bidder. There they are, they had gotten together, they had raised the funds necessary to buy the house, to help keep this person in his home. And this outside person had come along and bid it up and literally grabbed it from out of their fingers. And the question is, as a matter of halacha, was this second bidder entitled to do what he did? And is there any recourse, is there any claim that can be put in against him? Now, interestingly enough, this question is not a new question. The Beis Ephraim deals with a very similar issue. Beis Ephraim in Choshen Mishpat, Siman Yud Aleph, discusses a situation where a person had apparently not cleared goods on his way into the country. The tax collector seized the goods and auctioned it off privately, sold it to another party. The sale was obviously at a bargain basement price. It was an absolute steal. Fellow came in, paid a few cents on the dollar, bought the merchandise. The Beis Ephraim rules that the buyer is mechuyev, he is obligated to return the merchandise to the original owner. And he explains there are two reasons. The first is there's a concept of ani mahapik b'chararo, tortious interference. Now, ani mahapik is the subject of another shir. But to put it simply, what it means, what in the typical case is, if two people have an agreement to buy, to sell a property, to close a deal, once there's an agreement, the deal, the details are all agreed upon, even though there was no kinyan, there was no formal contract, no papers were signed, it's not legally binding, there is a prohibition of ani mahapich, another person is not allowed to get involved and try to kill the deal, to try to interfere with the transaction. Now again, this is not normally binding. It's not something that you can go to Beis Din and demand any compensation if it happens. But l'chadchila, if once there is a deal on the table, the parties have an agreement, although it's not binding, there's no contract, you're not allowed to interfere, you have to let the deal go through. The Beis Ephraim says, the concept of ani mahapich applies to our case as well. Now, this is a problem. Ani mahapich applies only when there's a deal. A buyer is ready to pay the full price. The seller, they shake hands, they come to terms. They may not have a contract, but there's a verbal agreement. There, ani mahapich says, let the deal go through. In our case, there's a public auction. It's up to bid. Why does ani mahapich apply? There's a second problem. And again, the Beis Ephraim points out all of these issues. Ani mahapich normally applies only to there is a windfall. You're walking down the street, you see there's some money on the floor, there's no simin, there's no way to identify the owner. If you're about to pick that up and someone else comes and grabs it, ani mahapich would not apply. Why? Because ani mahapich means that if there's a deal, something's being sold, it's a fair price. Ani mahapich says, don't interfere with that deal. You want to go buy a property? Go buy a property elsewhere. In a case where it's a mitzia, There's a $100 bill on the floor. If I don't grab this $100 bill, I'm not going to find it somewhere else. It doesn't exist elsewhere. In such cases, Tosfos holds, and this is the psak of the Ramban, Siman Reish Lamed Zayin, there's no prohibition on Onimach B'Chararo. Whoever gets to the $100 bill first, it's his. Now, some poskim say that this exception applies to sales as well. If there's a property for sale, and it's being sold at its normal, its fair market value, then once there's an agreement between the buyer and the seller, another party can't interfere. Onimach. However, if there's a fire sale, the property is being sold at well below its true value, it's a significant and unusual discount, there, according to many poskim, Onimach won't apply. So the Beis Ephraim points out, in our case as well, it's being sold at an auction, it was sold pennies on the dollar, why should there be Onimach? So the Beis Ephraim explains, he says, first of all, even at a cheap price, is a machlokes, there's a debate, and he's going to be machmer like the Shittas Ramban and the Shittas Hashach. Second of all, there's a basic difference between a normal case of Ani Mahapach and our case. Ani Mahapach normally refers to a situation where there's a property for sale. I come along and I put in an offer. It's accepted. Although there's no contract, there's no binding agreement, a third party shouldn't interfere. Because we tell the third party, why are you bothering these two people? Go find the property somewhere else. Go buy a different lot. Zokta Beis Ephraim, that's only true when the third party is a third party. He had no interest, no vested interest in this property. However, in our case, where the third party, the owner of the merchandise that was seized by the tax collector, he was the original owner. What's being sold was really his merchandise. The Beis Ephraim says, all opinions would agree on a mahapach applies, and therefore we can prevent someone from buying the property. That's the Beis Ephraim's first argument. He then continues and says there's another concept. We know there's a concept of yish. The person loses an aveda, he loses something, he has no simon, he has no way to prove who the owner is. He's miyayish, he gives up hope. And as a matter of halacha, if you find an item after yish, you're allowed to keep it. By gezeila as well, if something is stolen and there's a yish, the owner gives up, there's a shinu rishus. Al pi halacha, if someone buys the item after yish, after the owner has given up hope, he doesn't have to return the item to the owner. Nevertheless, the Beis Ephraim writes, and he's quoting a Ramah, that today, zina machus adina, the minhag is that if a person is robbed, even though he's miyayish, even though he gave up hope, the halacha is we have to return it. So Dr. Beis Ephraim, in our case as well, the tax collector may have seized the merchandise. The owner clearly gave up. He never expected to see the merchandise again. But if a Jew does obtain it, if the Jew does buy it, he would have an obligation to return it to the rightful owner. In fact, the Beis Ephraim says there's a halacha that what happens if, after Pesach, a person comes up with a brilliant idea how to make some money. We know that before Pesach, we sell our chametz to a non-Jew. We do mechiras chametz. Very often, the chametz is sold at a fraction of its true value. So some clever Jew came up with the idea that after Pesach, he went around to all the non-Jews that had bought the chametz, offered them a couple of dollars, and bought the entire city's chametz. He suddenly became the owner of hundreds of bottles of schnapps, tremendous value, and paid almost nothing. Zog the Beis Ephraim, you have to return it. And he says it's the same halacha. Since the items originally had belonged to whoever it was lost, they did lose it, they gave up on it, but it was lost in an underhanded way. The Beis Ephraim says you would have an obligation to return it. So based on this Beis Ephraim, it would seem, the owner of the house would be able to call the buyer to a din Torah. He would probably have to reimburse him for what he paid, but that's it. However, as a matter of halacha, this is not the case. The Rebbe Chaim has a tshuva where he discusses a very similar situation. His case was actually, there was a mortgage, a person borrowed money, he didn't pay, It was a whole complex situation. But at the end of the day, the property was seized. It was auctioned off. It was sold. And the owner tried to recover the property from the buyer, partially based on this Beis Ephraim. Divrei Chaim says that the Beis Ephraim doesn't apply. Firstly, in that case, the owner, the buyer actually, gave the original owner the opportunity to purchase the property. He declined. He didn't do it. The Divrei Chaim says, you had an opportunity to do it and you chose not to. There's no ani mapach. You can't come later on and say, I changed my mind. You had the opportunity. You missed it. Goodbye. So in the case of the Beis Ephraim, where the tax collector seized the merchandise from the owner and then went ahead and sold it to a third party, there's a claim between the owner and the third party. But in the case of the Divrei Chaim, where it was public auction, and in that case, even after the auction, the buyer had given the original owner the opportunity to purchase it. Once he declined, this halacha won't apply. But then he continues, there's a much more basic issue. In the case of the Beis Ephraim, the tax collector seized the merchandise, and then he sold it off. So the Divrei Chaim, the tax collector had no right to do that. He worked for the government. Whatever he seized should have gone to the government. What happened in that situation? The tax collector was corrupt. He decided to make a few dollars, and he sold it illegally on the side. In such a case, the tax collector wasn't authorized to do what he was doing. What was happening was gezel. And there, we can discuss the Beis Ephraim's various arguments that a buyer would have to return it to the original owner. But the Divrei Chaim argues, in our case, owner borrowed money from the bank. He owed $500,000 on the mortgage. His deal with the bank was, if I don't pay you, you're going to collect the money by taking my house. Essentially, the owner sold his house to the bank for the value of the mortgage. Now, if I sell my house to a bank, and then the bank sells it, I don't have any claim against the buyer. I can't argue I should come first, yish, Takanois, nothing doing. It was a transaction. I sold the house. I lost my rights. And therefore, the Divrei Chaim writes that in such a situation where the bank, the tax collector, whatever it was acting within their legal rights, they seized the property as payment or because of a default of a mortgage, that's a perfectly legitimate transaction. And if they sell it afterwards, the original buyer has no kedima, has no special claim and no special rights for the property. So as a matter of halacha, in such scenarios, regardless of the original owner's situation, he will not have a claim al pi halacha. He will not be able to force the bidder to resell it to him or to walk away from the auction. That doesn't necessarily mean it's the right thing to do. If there's a Jew who's fallen on hard times, and there are people who have gotten together, they're ready to bid on the property, they're ready to buy it and give it to him. Certainly, if you're able to let that happen and you're able to keep the person in his home, to go ahead and to interfere, to hurt the person, to lead to a situation where he may be evicted, clearly is not the right thing to do as far as Hilchus Tztaka, Hilchus Chesed. As far as Choshen Mishpat, whether he has a claim against you, that will not exist. Furthermore, in many such situations, there's a lot of games going on. The person really could afford to make the payment. He's trying to negotiate a short sale, different government programs, and he's playing hardball with the bank. In these situations, where the homeowner is doing something which is perhaps not what he should be doing al pi halacha, then I don't see any reason whatsoever for a person not to go to the auction, and he's free to put in a bid and to do whatever he needs to do in order to obtain the property. Thank you.
This presentation has been brought to you by the Orthodox Union in conjunction with the Beis Havad Institute of Talmudic Law, the Center for the Study and Practice of Monetary Halacha.